They are golds, not pinks. He's a monster.
Then prove you're a man, and stop him, Fitzner says. As long as he's not murdering them one by one, it's not our concern. All wounds heal, even these.
That's a lie, I tell him. I'll never be healed of Io. That pain will last forever. Some things do not fade. Some things can never be made right.
Yet we do nothing because he has more fighters, Cassius spits.
An idea sweeps over me. We can fix that.
Cassius turns to me. He hears the deadness in my voice just as I see it in his eyes when he speaks of Titus. That's a peculiar thing we share. We are made of fire and ice, though I am not sure which of us is ice and which is fire. Nevertheless, extremes rule us more than we'd like. That is why we are of Mars.
You have a plan, Cassius says.
I nod coldly.
Fitzner watches us too, and he grins. About Goridan time.
The plan starts with a concession only someone once a husband could make. Cassius cannot stop laughing when I tell him the details. Even Quinn snorts a laugh the next morning. Then she's off, running like a deer to Deimos Tower to bring my formal apology to Antonia. She's to meet me with Antonia's response at one of our supply caches near the Furor River, north of the castle. Cassius guards our new fort with the remainder of our tribe, in case Titus tries to attack while Roke and I go to the supply cache during the day.
Quinn does not come. Dusk does.
Despite the dark, we trace the path she would have taken from Deimos Tower. We go till we reach the tower itself, which sits in the low hills surrounded by thick woods. Five of Titus's men lounge around its base. Roke grabs me and pulls me down into the woods brush. He points to a tree 50 meters distant where Vixus sits hidden in wait on a high branch.
Did they catch Quinn?
No, she's too fast to be caught.
Did someone betray us?
We return to our fort by early morning. I'm sure I've been more tired, but I can't remember when. Blisters ruin my feet despite the fitted shoes, and my neck peels from long days in the sun.
Something is wrong.
Leah meets me by the fort's gate. She hugs Roke and looks up at me like I'm her father or something. She is not her usual timid self. Her bird-like body shakes, not from fear, but anger.
You have to kill that piece of filth, Darrow. You have to cut his slagging balls off.
Titus.
What happened?
I look around. Leah, where is Cassius?
She tells me.
Titus captured Quinn as she was on her way back from the tower. They beat her. Then Titus sent one of her ears here. It was meant for me. They thought Quinn was my girl, and Titus thinks he knows my temper. They got the reaction they wanted, just not from me. Cassius was on watch, and as the others slept, he snuck away to the castle to challenge Titus. Somehow, the brilliant young man was arrogant enough to think hundreds of years of Oriat honor and tradition would survive the sickness that has consumed Titus's tribe in only a few weeks. The Imperator's son was wrong, and he is also unused to having his heritage be of such little consequence. In the real world, he would have been safe. In this small one, he is not.
But he's alive, I say.
Yeah, I'm alive, you pixie.
Cassius stumbles, shirtless, out of the fort.
Cassius!
Roke gasps. His face pales suddenly. Cassius's left eye is swollen shut. Lips are split. Ribs purple as grapes. His other eye is bloody. Three dislocated fingers shoot out like tree roots, and his shoulder is odd. The others stare at him with such sadness. Cassius was the Imperator's boy, their shining knight, and now his body is a ruin. And the looks upon their faces, the pallid cast to their skin, tell me that they have never before seen someone beautiful mutilated. I have. He smells like piss. He tries to play it off as some lark.
They beat the slag out of me when I challenged him, hit me with a shovel on the side of the head, then stood around and had themselves a circle piss. Then they tied me up in that stink-old keep, but Pollock set me free like a good lad, and he's agreed to open the gate if we need it done.
I didn't think you were so stupid, I say.
Of course he is. He wants to be one of the Sovereign's knights, Roke mutters.
And all they do is duel. He shakes his long hair. Dirt crusts the leather band that holds it in a ponytail.
You should have waited for us.
What's done is done, I say. We go ahead with the plan.
Fine, Cassius snorts. But when the time comes, Titus is mine.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.